webcasting to the world live the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, October 8th, 2008. The only October 8th, 2008 in the history of humanity. And the only time that, I don't even know what I sound like right now, but I know it doesn't sound like I normally do, because it's been a rough road to the undisclosed location, beautiful humans. But I'm here, the show must go on, and we are happy to have you are, wherever you're logged in, throughout the great planet known as planet Earth, for the Wednesday night extravaganza known as Glenn Klein Online of the Gospel Revolution, with the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening, Glenn. And yes, you do sound a little stressed in your voice there, my dear friend.
Well,
my friend.
Who do you think you are, John McCain there now?
Well, I'm getting close, you know. It's sneaking up on me.
John McCain, ladies and gentlemen, debated Barack Obama last night in the United States. Many of you, of course, saw it. And they counted that he referenced my friends, using that phrase, my friends, 22 different times in an hour and a half. And I guess they say that a lot on the Senate floor, but it is good to know that he considers us his friends, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. I consider him my friend.
Well, it was a long road from Tampa to the undisclosed location in northern Wisconsin. It is absolutely gorgeous up here. I left Tampa at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, only to find out that my flight that I thought was at 10 o'clock in the morning had been moved to 3:30 in the afternoon. And so I went back home a little bit later for a little bit while. Didn't want to be, hanging out at the airport all that time. And my son Joe, who is one of the great guys of all time, and was assisting his old man getting to the airport, and is now assisting Sean O'Halloran in producing this fine program, drove me back home. Drove me back to the airport about 2:30 in the afternoon. And then, of course, they told me my flight was delayed. It was going to be significantly delayed. And that I would be missing my flight from Detroit to Quebec City because the flight from Tampa to Detroit would be late. And so I was like, all right, so what does that mean? Well, you can go to Montreal. And you can spend Sunday night in Montreal. And then you can catch a 6:20 a.m. flight from Montreal to Quebec City so that I can have an 11 o'clock in the morning speaking engagement in Quebec City at the International Camping Congress that I was scheduled to speak at. So I went through that whole rigmarole, woke up in Montreal on Monday morning, and Michael, as God is my witness, I could not make any sound come out of my mouth.
Yeah, I know.
And people who have prayed the prayer that no sound could come out of my mouth, your prayer was answered momentarily. And I thought it was very humorous that a motivational speaker had no speech. So after I had a hot toddy or two, I started getting some sound back and was able to have about as much voice as you hear right now. But people seem to enjoy. And I left this morning. I was up about 1:30 undisclosed location time in the morning. Got here just about 2 hours ago and fell asleep, as you might imagine. But the show must go on, so we're depending on you folks to partake and participate. Are you there? Hello?
So no operatic notes tonight?
What am I hearing?
It sounds like a dial tone to me, or a dial.
That's a very strange. Hold on.
Hello. Ah. Glenn, are you there? One of the minor difficulties. Like,
Hello?
Think we lost more than his voice this time.
Am I back?
Hello? You're back. We lost more than your voice that time.
What happened?
Well, there goes that dial thing again. I don't know. Every time you come back there, because a weird sound comes with you. Are you there?
I'm here, and it's very, very strange.
I know.
Maybe.
Are you hitting your redial button on your phone?
I don't think so.
And even at that, I don't think anyone has a rotary phone.
Well, really, you know, sometimes you know how you can choose rotary over pulse?
Yes.
Or tone, or however what it is. I don't think your phone even has that choice. So, more mysteries abound tonight. But we're happy to have you with us wherever you are logged into. And if you're listening live, we are really desiring your participation. Help your friendly neighborhood life coach out by participating at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Well, a month from today, Michael, not only will there be a new president elect of the United States, but literally as we speak, 4 weeks from this hour, we will be in the first hours of the Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston, Texas. It's kind of hard to believe.
Sending chills up my spine. This has been a long time coming, and to actually be able to mark it off now and say that we are now officially, by minutes now, less than a month away from the beginning of our conference. My goodness, it's been a long time. Of course, I used to do these week-long Bible schools under the Word of Faith doctrine, and then, of course, as I transitioned into teaching some of Grace versus Law and Righteousness, those Bible schools were very successful. We called them vacation Bible schools, actually. And we took a full week, and people came from all parts. And those were quite fun times, no doubt about it. It was actually the incubation period, I think, for the gospel in my heart and mind, and for many of the people that were coming, even though a lot of those have gone on to be even more legalistic. You know, they've kind of stopped doing a lot of the things we used to do, though, that we were so prolific at. I know there's not really any of them.
Michael, hold on for one second. I'm just going to stop you right there. Hey, Sean, it's Joe. It sounds like your microphone's on there in the background. We can hear you guys talking, which is nice to hear you, but it's a little disconcerting when we're listening to Michael. So please turn your mic off. Let's go back to the other Michael. Okay, so you were saying it was a little disconcerting, Mike.
Yeah. Well, of course, I was talking, so I don't know if I could hear them or not.
Yeah.
But, I remember we would have sessions even at these big hotels in the ballroom that we would cast out devils out of people. And, you know, we would be under the big chandeliers as we will be at the Marriott. It's going to bring back some memories, maybe, but we would have people in the floor screaming and snarling, and several people holding them down, and us casting the devils out of them. So I don't think that Norville's doing that anymore. I remember him saying that's why God called him, is because everybody had quit casting out devils. But,
well, you know, I was thinking about that recently when I was watching some TV Jakes. Of course, the large evangelist. I didn't mean physically large, but he is a physically large man from the Dallas, Texas area. And they were running, Michael, some what they call the greatest hits or the best of or whatever of T.D. Jakes from the early days.
Right.
And, you know, before he had this big empire. And, boy, he was out there laying hands on people and getting right in the middle of the crowd. And
oh,
I thought to myself, I wonder why they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they get to a certain point in their ministry where they just don't need to do that anymore.
You don't need to put that much effort into it anymore.
Exactly.
Believe me. I remember seeing the transition with Norville. I mean, I whether he was right or wrong, I know that his heart was involved in this. I mean, he was adamant and very persuaded, and he'd jump on a situation like that in a second. But as a few years started going by, then he would stir up a crowd of people and have this big altar call for casting devils out of people for something or anything or everything. And then he would call us, his ministry team up there, and he'd go get in his Cadillac and leave. So, he quit before.
Right.
But it's hard work. But you know, if it's that important, and if it is something that revolutionizes people's lives, if he used my testimony to demonstrate, and my life to try to demonstrate that, my goodness, why wouldn't you exhaust yourself doing that continually? You know, it just there again, of course, the doctrine never ever fits the persuasion. If you really believe that, just like we've brought out many times, if Benny Hinn really believes that this is working, I mean, I would just spend time in children's hospitals. Forget the adults.
Right.
Let's just get the children all healed up, you know.
Right.
But the children
if you get them well right from the get-go and they know the source,
yep,
of how they got healthy, you'd have an instant army forever.
Oh, absolutely. And even Bill Gates is that's what his entire foundation is about. I saw him interviewed, and he does not give away any money, his or Warren Buffett's, which Warren Buffett contributed his billions to Linda and Bill Gates Foundation, and which with their billions, and so they get to spend both multiple billions of dollars, but they spend it all on health issues, and they'll go into a country where that the children's bellies, you know, are filled with worms, and it's a simple vaccination to stop that, and it's taking their lives and destroying their health and taking their lives and any potential future that they might have, even if they survive it, it's just a hellacious thing. But they put all the money into putting people on the ground with the vaccine and mobilizing and setting up clinics to vaccinate a whole country for kids that, you know, have worms in their belly or something like that. But it's he doesn't go around giving away money. But if you do, I mean, what a great idea. I thought, now that's a brilliant idea, is to get in and help these children. And but it is true. If you really can heal, then heal the children.
Right.
And my goodness, you'll have an army on your hands in one generation or less, and they'll be out doing the same thing.
You know, I was sitting at a local establishment in, where was I today? In Detroit. I woke up this morning in Quebec City about 1:30 Central Time in the United States, 1:30 a.m., and got picked up at the hotel and went from Quebec City, the airport there. Quebec City, by the way, is a beautiful city. What a gorgeous, gorgeous place in the world that I had never seen before. Flew from Quebec City to Detroit. Had a layover in Detroit, and I was at this bar in Detroit, and one thing led to another, and this fellow from the UP of Michigan was asking me what I was doing. And so, I started telling him about it, and I started talking about the Gospel Revolution, of course, and the upcoming convention in Houston. And he said, what's your point? What are you trying to do? And I said, oh, we're just involved in systematically, slowly but surely, dismantling and discrediting organized evangelical fundamentalist Christianity. And he looked at me with, like, are you out of your gourd that you would dare to stand up to this leviathan of history? And so I explained to him how it started and what we're doing, and he said, you know, I've always kind of thought of it that way. And the guy actually did have some background in Bible understanding. And so gave him my new Gospel Revolution card.
There you go.
At the Skybox in the Detroit airport. But you know,
they're
Mike,
everywhere.
Right.
They're everywhere.
But you know, when you bring up the history and the personal history of this thing, why don't they go, if Benny Hinn, why does he have to go to India or to the Philippines? Why doesn't he just go to Memorial Hospital in Orlando, Florida, near his headquarters, and walk up and down the aisles and empty those places out?
Well, and not only that, I mean, you don't have to go to India to find sick people. Of course, the report is always that they receive more there. Of course, any place where that there's less education, there's more susceptibility to spiritual shenanigans, for sure. And it's been proven throughout history. But, you know, even the well-educated and the very intellectual, because of a desire for spiritual identity, can fall for these things. But no doubt, it's like, you know, keep it at home, Benny. Let's get the kids going here. I get my heart torn out every time I watch, can't stop watching it, but watching the stories from St. Jude's Hospital. And, goodness, give them some of it. Give them a dose. They need it just as badly as anybody else does. But, you know, it's all about the machine is the thing of it. That's just all about the machine.
Well, of course, taking the cameras to India or to Guatemala or wherever guys like Benny Hinn go, it makes much, for much more dramatic pictures to send to the millions of people
which
send
have
their money.
Nothing in them at all anyway, Glenn. Where is that video? Where is that video of that person who, their child was Down syndrome, or the one that had the, hand missing, or, truly a crooked back that is straightened up. This, why? I just don't get it. I don't get it. Now, if anybody thinks I'm against healing, they're out of their tree. Who in the world would be against such a wonderful thing? But I don't get it. Why is there not one of all of Benny Hinn's crusades? He cannot produce one single video with the multiple millions of dollars worth of camera equipment that would outdo Hollywood on any given day. Disney, he would outdo Disney on any day with the type and amount of recording equipment that he has, audio and video, and that it doesn't exist. The video does not exist. Not digitally remastered or anything. Not one from the old days, the new days. None of them. They don't exist. And yet, people still funnel money into his organization, and people still turn out for them by the droves because of the desperation. But it's like, you know, my one question has always been, just show me the one video and you will have a complete believer here, that there might be some legitimacy to what you're doing. I want to see it. You say, well, you know, there's people that had this happen and that happen. But you see, that's not a verifiable, those things are not verifiable miracles. And when it speaks of the miracles that were performed when Jesus was walking the earth, it's talking about, it says that by many infallible miracles, it was proven of what was going on. And there is no infallible miracles. It's all, everything that does happen could be proven to be psychosomatic. Now, I don't care if somebody is psychosomatically healed. I'm still glad, because if you're psychosomatically ill, you feel it just as much as if you really were ill. And even blindness can be a psychosomatic illness. And if you are psychosomatically in a wheelchair and you get out, that's wonderful. But if it's God, why is it that there is not one single video? There's not one inch of digital recording that shows somebody's body transforming. It doesn't exist. With all the cameras that there are on the face of this planet and in Benny Hinn's meetings alone, not one.
Well, you know, if they did have that proof, they would say, of course, that would validate their ministry and that would validate what they were saying. Well, we just talked about this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before. Folks, if anything like that would ever happen at one of our get-togethers or at the Gospel Revolution Convention, we'd welcome it. But in no way would we ever say that validates or that proves that what we're saying is true. Because either it's true or it's not. No amount of miracles, and you know, it's a very interesting point that people have brought up about the different miracles that occurred, both in the presence, Michael, of the Apostle Paul and guys like Peter and James and John. And your great point was that, well, that just proves that what they were sharing wasn't the result, or the healings weren't the result of what they were sharing. The miracles weren't the result of what they were sharing, because they weren't sharing the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. They were in a great debate about what it was they were sharing. I mean, you know, if even Paul out saying that, Paul said that there were many mighty miracles happening in his meetings, but they called him in out of the mission field to come and talk about his doctrine. Well, they evidently didn't believe that there was a lot of people getting healed, because I'm not saying that there weren't, but that evidently was not the big deal. It wasn't helping people. Let's say there were people being healed like that in Paul's meeting. But it certainly did not leave anyone with the ability of saying, let's let this man alone. You know, let's let him go. In fact, they had to disprove his doctrine instead. But I would think if we were to have a verifiable miracle take place during our conference, the only thing I would be able to do is just stand back and be amazed that with all of my own personal inadequacies of being able to present this gospel, or to do it with the clarity with which I believe it deserves to be presented. I still feel that, Glenn, I still feel that there's a gospel that is so magnificent that my own brain is not able to grasp yet the gravity of this incredible gospel. And I would stand back and be amazed that in spite of my ineptness, that this happened anyway. It certainly wouldn't be me standing back saying, wow, look, you know, God is verifying
right
that what I'm saying is truth.
Right,
I would be amazed that it happened in the presence of my inability to present the truth as wonderful as it actually is.
in other words, far from God putting a stamp of approval on what we're sharing, we would just be amazed that things like that would happen. I'll tell you one miracle that happened, though, through your ministry in my life. And I remember where we were sitting. It was the first time we ever had a meal together. And I asked you about this. So this is, ladies and gentlemen, of course, about, well, it's got to be about 12 years ago now. And I asked Michael about his this rumor that he was back to being gay. And I had single-handedly, ladies and gentlemen, fought the encroachment of the gay rights movement within the American Camping Association. The gay rights agenda was being advanced in the camping industry like it has been everywhere else. And I will say right now, thank God. But at the time, I was trying to stop it. And it was very controversial at the time. But we were sitting out for lunch when we had Michael to our church in Brandon, Florida, our little messianic congregation. And I said, well, what about this gay thing, Michael? And Michael looked at me and said, Glenn, I'm as gay as I ever was. And Michael, when you said that, there was absolutely no judgment, no condemnation in my heart. I was free of judgment and guilt and condemnation. And that was a miracle, my friend.
Yeah, and those those are great miracles. And
that doesn't validate the truth of the gospel, but I have to tell you, from that point on, I really liked myself a lot better, and there's somebody online with us that I know that can relate to it, and I have to first say thank you to him because he did not rub it in when my Chicago Cubs went down to a flaming defeat again in the playoffs. This is our Cincinnati, Ohio correspondent and our leader of the music for the Gospel Revolution Convention, Mr. Greg Amberge, calling from Ohio. Gregory!
How's it going, guys?
It's going great. How's it going to you?
Would you like to rub it in now on Glenn, since you've got him online?
What's the question?
Would you like to really rub it in now about his team?
No.
You're not going to do it. Oh,
Glenn's
my goodness.
He's got the Rays now. He lives in Tampa.
That's right. I did have two teams in the hunt, ladies and gentlemen. I had my Cubbies in the National League. And frankly, the whole laryngitis thing started, it's all Joe Klein's fault. It all started on Thursday night, a week ago tomorrow night, as the Tampa Bay Rays took on the Chicago White Sox at Tropicana Field, and we were there. And that's where this whole thing started, Joe. It's all your fault, Joseph. But Gregory, what's going on out there in Cincinnati tonight?
I'm just watching all this stuff going on in the news and trying to figure out, I'm trying to position my business to actually be in business a year from now. it's a strange time in the lending business.
I'm
a real estate appraiser, and most of my business is with mortgage lenders and banks and things like that. And so, it's a strange time.
Well, you know, I always like to remind folks, and of course, this is a very, very stressful time for a lot of people, including us. Greg's a real estate appraiser, and of course, Dawn is a real estate broker. But I always like to remind folks, Michael, and we were talking about historical understandings, and all that, the history of what we've experienced. But I was sitting and having dinner, before I came to the undisclosed location. I was with some friends up here in the Northwoods, and we were talking about what's been happening. And then all of a sudden, of course, we were watching the news, and the Dow Jones, you know, went down another 190 points almost today again. And everybody's wringing their hands, and the sky is falling, and the whole thing is coming unglued. And there came a commercial from Time Life to buy a series of DVDs about the history of World War II. You never saw Adolf Hitler like this, they said. we've been through tough times before, folks, and I think we'll just be just fine, Greg.
We're going to be fine.
I will prophesy 1 year from now, Lord willing,
oh,
as the creek
Glenn,
don't rise.
Please, I've been dealing with prophecy all week, too, so maybe I should talk about that a little
bit.
Oh,
what another one, eh?
No, I have some friends that are still, you know, heavily involved in the charismatic movement, and they for about the last 2 to 3 elections, the prophetic people, you know, the Word of Faith group kind of, they splintered into several different things, and one, this prophetic group that's out there now, they go completely off their chain every 4 years. And I was trying to point out to my friend today how one of these prophetic all-stars always leaves himself a way out. I said, give me any prophecy he's made in the last 8 years, send it to me, and I'll show you he leaves himself a way out if he predicts anything specific. And so he hasn't found one yet that doesn't do that. But these guys are all going crazy with Obama's the Antichrist, and he's going to usher in the, you know, the tribulation and the rapture and all this stuff. And finally, today I said, look, dude, I said, I'm not waiting for all that rapture tribulation stuff. So I should be the one that's worried. And I said, I'm not worried. Besides, you should be knowing, like, if you believe it, if you really believe it, you shouldn't care if Obama's the Antichrist, which he's not.
You should
because
welcome
God's
it.
Because doing all this stuff on his timetable, which you should be into.
Should be rejoicing about it.
And I've been trying to get them to chill out and realize that Barack Obama is not the Antichrist, and they won't hear any of it. So I got some weird friends.
Well, you
yeah.
know, we all do, Gregory, and but you know, I was watching the debate last night, and John McCain, in talking about Barack Obama, he referred to Barack as that one. In a vote, he said,
yeah.
"I didn't vote." He said, "That one voted for it." Well, they've already got that one 08 T-shirts out.
Well, you missed that one, Glenn. You missed it.
I did miss that one. I was in Canada, not thinking about the potential T-shirt possibility.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear what
man.
People
Boy,
in Australia and
good one.
I'd like to hear what people in Australia and Canada and Great Britain and some of our other people that listen to the webcast are hearing about our crazy election process over here.
Well, I mean, the people I talked to Debbie O'Brennan last night, Victor O'Brennan's wife, and she's originally from the United States. She's all excited about the election and following it. I think people, Michael, who follow United States politics, know that it can get very strange at times. And of course, Sarah Palin, John McCain's running mate, has a almost an Obama-like following in the Republican camp. She's very dynamic on the stump. And on the news tonight, I saw that after she gave the introductory speech to John McCain, that thousands of people walked out after she got done talking. They didn't even want to hear McCain. And, of course, Sarah Palin has an evangelical fundamentalist Pentecostal background. And these people, the type that Greg are talking about, see her as a potential savior, if you will, of our political system.
Yeah, and as I was pointing out today, the people on the right, this I think about as weird as you can get is this prophetic stuff that's going on where everybody's going crazy. On the left, it's just as weird. With all, like, they had these Obama youth on YouTube. I was seeing them today. I couldn't believe this stuff. It looked like the Hitler youth from the 30s. And so the lefties are all crazy, and the righties are all crazy. And I think it leaves about 80% of us in the middle just going, we don't want to associate with any one of those groups.
We're not going to take it.
Michael, is anything that we're seeing that's happening right now in our modern day in any way, shape, or form something that could be gleaned from the Bible or related to Scripture or to prophecy?
Well, and absolutely nothing about prophecy of the scriptures can be related to what's happening today. Zero,
amen.
Zilch, nada, nothing. And I think that's what causes these things to get so crazy is that, you know, one side starts yelling, you know, Antichrist and prophecies and end of the world, and it just makes the other side that much crazier, and then the crazier that side gets, the other side starts prophesying more, and it just begins, it escalates, and believe me, regardless of your side on this political race, it's going to get much crazier in the next month. I mean, we will step out of one of the most toxic elections, possibly, if it keeps escalating the way that it has, right into the bliss of being in the Gospel Revolution conference and celebrating the journey. And we will have come through an election cycle journey and be able to rejoice about the gospel, that regardless as to who is the president of the United States, regardless of who is the vice president of the United States, regardless as to which party is in charge or which one is fighting for what issue, that we have something that is so unifying and stabilizing and really gives us a future. I don't know of anybody's policies that can change where we are. We really need a change of heart. And the only thing that I see in the mix at all, and you know, I am very pleased to say it is in the mix. The gospel is in the mix. Yes, I know there's craziness on every side, but you know what, guys? Our voice is in the mix. And it has been just a few years ago that I couldn't have said that. And but we are in a situation now to where that around the world, I mean, the CDs, the broadcast, everybody, all of you guys in your own locations are sharing the good news, whether it's with a libertarian, an independent, Democrat, or Republican, whether they think Obama's the Antichrist or that John McCain's too old to get around his living room. It does that you got some good news for everybody. It doesn't make any difference who they are. There is fantastic, not a if, and not a and, not a but, not a maybe, but that you can actually share with these folks. Yeah, I know that John McCain is kind of old, but do you know that he's righteous and holy and perfect in the eyes of God? Obama, yeah, you think he's Antichrist? Yeah, but do you know he's righteous and holy and perfect in the eyes of God? Oh, but he went to a madrasa when he was a kid. But yes, maybe he did. But do you know that he's righteous and holy? There is something that is unifying. Well, that's not something. The gospel is unifying. That's just all there is to it. And I know that the people listening to us probably still have many varying political positions in this race. But the advocation of the gospel is our goal. And we're here tonight to tell all Democrats, all supporters of Barack Obama, and Barack Obama and his wife also, they were made holy and perfect and righteous 2,000 years ago, without exemption, without exception. And we are here to tell all Republicans and all supporters of John McCain and Cindy McCain and family and extended friends, that they are, because of the work of the cross 2,000 years ago, they are absolutely perfect and righteous and holy in the eyes of God.
That's awesome.
And that is the good news in the middle of all of the contradictory news that's going on.
And of all the craziness that is going on. This is Glenn Klein online. This is the Gospel Revolution webcast. We've got Michael Williams at the home offices in Houston, our Cincinnati correspondent and our music leader, Greg Amberge in Cincinnati. And, you know, fellas, I had so many wonderful comments this last week, Greg, about your singing on last week's webcast. And I'm going to ask you to do it again.
You know what's funny about that? Last week, my tonsils were almost swollen together. And I thought, oh, great, I got to sing. And then I started the thing too high. So, anyway.
Well, I'm going to ask you to do it again because, folks, here we are, and we are in tumultuous times. There's no doubt about it. But for those of you that are listening live right now, and it's about 20 minutes or so until the top of the hour on Wednesday night, or you're listening on the archive and you're experiencing the stress and our society in Western civilized society is very stressed out right now. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to ask Greg to sing, and you're going to sense something that happens to your soul when you start hearing the words and start sensing the meaning of the words. And the Bible calls it salvation, and I highly recommend it. I highly recommend salvation, the meditation, the rehearsal, the repetitive nature of just reminding, as Michael just did, about our political parties in the United States, those that take part in those parties, that they are righteous and perfect and holy in the sight of God. Debbie Dobrennan said to me, boy, the Gospel Revolution Convention is going to be incredible, especially in light of when it is occurring after this presidential election. And, you know, Michael, you commented several months ago that when we originally planned this thing over a year ago, almost, that we didn't realize that it was going to be the day after the election.
Oh, I had no clue when I was negotiating with the hotel, and we started picking dates and figuring out when, and we just wanted it to start on a Wednesday, and we decided on the first Wednesday in November, and here we are. So I had absolutely no clue that the day before was Election Day. So. And I do want our audience. I want to encourage everybody who's listening in the U.S. to vote. You know, I've had a couple of conversations with friends, and I had one friend. She said I was so convinced I was going to vote for Obama, and then I had this conversation, and somebody said this, and then I was convinced I was going to vote for McCain, and she said I'm just not going to vote. But she has children. And we have this is, you know, of the things that we have here in the United States, one is not just the privilege and the right, I believe the responsibility to vote. We're not advocating that you vote for any particular person. If I knew that someone was not going to vote, and if I got them to vote, they would be voting for the person that was not of the party, or the persuasion of what I was voting for, if it was the other candidate, I would still want them to vote. This is a cherished right that we have.
Yes.
It's part of the expression of our freedom that we have here in this country. Argue with your neighbors and talk about it. Hopefully do it civilly. Don't come to blows. But express your opinion, but when it comes down to it, you know, do you know how many people are out there that are griping and complaining and accusing and on both sides of the fence that are not even going to vote?
Yes.
They're not going to vote. They just want to be a part of the fight. And it's not about the fight. It's about the right. And the right that you have carries a responsibility, the freedom you have. It's the very same thing that we've been telling you about the gospel, is that it gives you absolute freedom, and freedom carries a responsibility, an ability to respond.
Yeah.
Now, you can respond vocally all you want. You can stand in crowds and shout out insults to Sarah Palin or to McCain or to Obama or Senator Biden, and shout out all kinds of nasty things. But the fact of it is, that's not where this gets won. This gets won in the ballot box. So with all of the rhetoric that's going on, the thing that I want to do more than anything, if we we have any role. This is not a gospel issue. Please let me make that very clear. Just like we respond to any issue, it's not a gospel issue. But this is an awesome country, and it's by everyone involved, it is cherished. And but folks,
so many of our folks that listen around the world to the areas that Greg referenced before, they also have the right to vote. And I learned, and I wasn't even aware of it, because of all the coverage of our election in the United States, that Canada goes to the polls in about 6 days to vote in their form of government. And you know what? It is not a gospel issue. It does, in other words, it does not affect whether you vote or not, how God sees you, nothing that we do or do not do. But it is a manifestation of freedom.
It absolutely
and our sharing of the good news is a manifestation of our freedom in Christ. And you don't ever have to share the gospel with anybody, folks. God will not change his opinion of you, his view of you, one iota, whether you ever share the good news with somebody or not. But we do believe that it is a manifestation, or as Michael said, a response to our ability, our responsibility, to share the good news and to participate in this freedom. So, Gregory, I would ask you to take us into a time of meditation, which means meditation literally means something, folks. It doesn't mean just to think about it. It means to mutter, to be repetitive in your words. And one of the most beautiful ways to be repetitive in words is through music. And participate now, Gregory, please, through the gift that God has given you through music to the salvation of our souls.
All right. I'm just going to preview a song I'm sure we'll sing at the convention. Michael's favorite.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. We're born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Keep going, please.
I'm done.
I want to hear more.
I can't remember the words.
Well, how's it going, Michael? Heir of salvation.
Yeah, you can't.
Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Yeah.
That's the first verse.
Yeah, there are, and we will expect to get all four of them in the when you bring your repertoire with you.
You know, I thought when you were singing, Greg, I just naturally closed my eyes and began soaking, if you will, being baptized. See, that's what being baptized in the Holy Spirit is, ladies and gentlemen, is being immersed in the thought that we are heirs of salvation, purchased of God, born
of the
Spirit.
Incredible words.
Washed in his blood. You know, one of the things, Greg, that you noticed during your research for some of the music that you guys will be singing in the band for the convention is that there are actually some songs out there that are just laced with the gospel.
Oh, yeah. Especially a lot of old Calvinist hymns.
Yeah, that's true.
where, you know, I think, not to get off on theology, but Calvinists get kind of close to the gospel. They, in a way, and in another way, they're way off on the other end. But a lot of the old Calvinist hymns have a lot of the just pure gospel right in them.
No, it is very true.
And I can't think of any examples right now. I got them all bookmarked in an old hymnal I have.
Yeah, it was amazing going through my stint with the Word of Faith movement and singing nothing but scripture songs. You know, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, hallelujah. And
been there, done that.
Been there, done that. And I remember the one, Blow the Trumpet in Zion. Did you ever sing that one?
Yeah.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on the holy mountain. Which, if you read it in context, means God's ticked off and he's about to kill everybody.
Exactly.
And but it was amazing thinking that I had to sing these scriptures. And this is the day, you know. We'd stand there just hopping up and down singing, this is the day that the Lord has made. Now I can really sing it, but I know what day it's talking about. I never will forget my studies taking me to that point and realizing that the day of the Lord, and that term is one reserved to the prophets. We don't have a right to use it in our own way, but it was one of referring to the day of the Lord, the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and it's not today. It was the day that occurred 2,000 years ago when on the cross at Golgotha that God laid all of man's shortcomings upon himself, upon his Son, and took away all division and laid aside all anger and wrath and judgment. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Even if I'm not glad about today, even if, you know, people that are saying, you know, try to apply that today, and they just lost, you know, $250,000 in their retirement account, I'm sorry, you're not going to be rejoicing today. But there is a day you can rejoice in, no matter how much you lost in your 401k over this last week. Because we have a day to rejoice in. But, you know, we never sang it that way. But it was amazing to me after coming through that, and we poo-pooed all of the old hymns, you know, and all of those old negative hymns, and how that it revived in me some of those old hymns that I sang in the Baptist church. And just like that, the one, as you said, is my favorite, and it is true, and everybody knows it if they've listened to a tape of mine in the past, for sure, is Blessed Assurance. What an amazing thing to be able to say. Another one of my favorites is the song that is attributed to the gentleman who was taking passage on the return voyage back
well
to
with
the
my
area
soul.
Where his family went down on a ship. And this is the story. I've checked it out 2 or 3 times, and it's supposed to be true. But he went and stood on the bow of the ship in the middle of the night because the captain told him that this is where the ship went down. And he went out and penned that song. You know, it is well with my soul. And it is so amazing that in the gospel, you know, you can just take a big deep breath and it can be well with your soul if you're not trying to figure out. See, this is the thing, guys. When you start trying to figure out how this current situation figures into God and your relationship with God, it cannot be well with your soul. It cannot be well with your soul. You're more tormented than what the situation itself warrants you to be tormented even.
Right.
It compounds the torment instead
right.
of relieves you from the torment. But I'm telling you that it can be well with your soul, no matter what the conditions are around you. If you remind yourself, like just like what Glenn was saying, remind yourself, remember And I love that term, remember. It's taking a member and reattaching it. It's bringing something back again and again and again. You can remember something all the rest of the days of your life and never allow it to ever be detached from you by remembering all the time. Keep that as a part of you. You can keep the gospel around you and with you all the time, just like your arms and legs, if you will remember.
Yes.
It's
the most important member that you have of your body, ladies and gentlemen.
It absolutely is.
The body of Christ. Yep. Hey, Greg, let's sing "This Is the Day That the Lord Hath Made" at the convention, but with the explanation of what the day is, and I guarantee you that will be
sung. That was the day.
Yeah,
that was the day.
We're gonna let you go now, in case some other folks waiting to get online in the last few minutes. But we can't wait. 28 days from today, my friend.
Okay.
All right, Gregory. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Gregory.
Love you, buddy. Here's Greg Ambergy, and we're gonna wait just a few moments here at the tail end. In case you were trying to get on, we've got all three lines. Going when I'm on the road at the undisclosed location or wherever I'm at. And so that third line is available to you right now at 1-800-436-3260. We'll be happy to go a little bit over time. Sean, if you do get a call here in the next few moments at 1-800-436-3260, just feel free to interrupt on the microphone and let us know that somebody's there. We are happy to go a couple minutes over to hear from you. We know that the phone numbers have been, or the phone line has been busy. But Michael, it was really worth hearing Greg sing again.
No doubt.
It gets me even more excited.
It is. And I tell you, if anybody is out there with second guessing whether or not they should come and have not signed up yet, and got your room reserved, the Marriott is still waiting on your call and can still take your reservation. In fact, you don't even have to do that. All you have to do is go on gospelrevolution.com and click in right on the website, and you can reserve your room right there and also sign up for the conference. And it's going to be really an amazing time, and I think it's going to be in ways that we don't know. This is
just
a feeling that I have in my heart that all of the meetings that everybody's ever heard me speak in, or any of our guest speakers that we have coming, including Glenn Klein, I think it's going to be different than what all of us actually think it's going to be, because this gospel message, if I can say it in this way, this gospel message for this group of people in this particular time and point in history is maturing. It is maturing. It's maturing in our ability to conceive it. This gospel is maturing in our ability to share it. It is maturing in our ability to live with each other based on the gospel instead of being divided based on issues. So there is a maturity that's coming that I think is going to be clearly brought out with just because the gospel is the power of God. And we've put the effort into this, and the gospel is what has the power. Our efforts do not have any power in them. It doesn't have the power that the gospel has. All of our efforts are only to create a platform and give you a room and give you the voices that are going to come and share the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. So we're all going to leave here drastically more saved than we were when we got here. And don't let anybody kid you.
Yes.
You will leave Houston more saved than you've ever been in your life.
Yes.
And it is so amazing to be able to tell people that. Now, you will not leave 1 ounce more righteous. You will not be 1 ounce more redeemed. You will not be any more holy. Even if you don't come, you're not going to be less holy. But if you don't come, you could be less saved. because of missing this wonderful thing. But it certainly is not going to change your position with God. There is salvation. We are very gladly and blatantly offering salvation to the hearers.
Yes.
And I'll admit to you right up front, we're going to record it all so you can buy it, but there's going to be something that is going to be very special about being here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing we're not going to be able to record, except maybe on DVD, but you won't be able to experience the same way, is when we have our time on Saturday afternoon of no message being given, just a social time, time of hugging up on each other, meeting each other, and getting to know each other, and putting names with faces. Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, I was referencing this gentleman that I was sharing at the bar in Detroit this afternoon when I was having lunch. He got saved today.
Yeah.
He heard the message that he was righteous and perfect and holy in the eyes of God. And he said that always kind of made sense to him. And as he was sitting there having his smoke and cocktail, and there was salvation going on there. But the amount and the intensity of what's going to be experienced and the manifestation of love and freedom and grace that is going to be had when all these people who have been pulling together. And, you know, I don't know that the message is maturing, Michael. I think the message is mature as it could possibly be. I think we're maturing in it. I think we're getting more and more established in it because we're hanging in there with it. We're, you know, 15 years down the road of the gospel revolution, and we are going to celebrate this journey on November 5th through the 9th in Houston, Texas. If there's any way, beautiful humans, that you can be part of it, please, please, please don't miss it. As Michael said, go on gospelrevolution.com. You can sign up for it there. And for you folks who have signed up, you are confirmed. So do not worry about that. We are going to sign in when we get there, and we will welcome everybody. If it's a last-second thing, and you just are literally in the last-second thing, well, maybe I can and maybe I can't. Just make plans, if at all possible, to be there. We will welcome you with open arms, and it is going to be a time to be remembered. And, you know, you talk about remembering and remembering. Michael, this experience that we're about to have 1 month from today, 28 days, is going to be something that as people look back on it, it will bring salvation to their soul as well.
Absolutely.
So, Sean, I'm assuming we have nobody else on the line? I hear nothing. Kind of like Sergeant Schultz and Hogan's here. Well, we appreciate all you folks that are listening live and listening on the archive. Thanks so much to Greg Amberge for calling in. Michael, 1 month from today, my friend.
Yay.
It's going to be there. I cannot wait.
Hopefully
my voice will be recovered by then.
I kind of think it will.
I think so, too. Thanks to Sean O'Halloran, our producer and engineer and call screener extraordinaire. Thanks to Joe Klein for assisting. From the undisclosed location in northern Wisconsin, until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!